You may be seated. I'd like you to turn to Psalms, the 34th chapter. I hope through the preaching tonight that it changes your concept of blessing. Psalms 34 in verse number 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Now, that's a little different than what we say a lot of times. We say, God bless me. But it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. You can't make God bigger, but we are here gathered to exemplify, to exalt his name. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They look unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear or reverence him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints. For there is no want to them that fear, reverence, worship God. Amen. He said it. He wrote it down. He hasn't changed his mind. Some years ago, God showed me the importance of praying a blessing over people. And if you've been around here for any length of time, you've heard me pray before taking the offering and the tithes. I pray a blessing over the congregation, just as I did a second ago. God bless them. God keep them. God keep your hand of protection and your health upon your people. Bless them financially and let them always feel your spirit. God showed me how important those prayers are to our life, that the man of God needs to pray a blessing as the man of God did in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, because that's the position of blessing God's people. So, you know, there are traditions in all churches, and this is a tradition of ours, but there's a purpose for the tradition, because when you're sitting here in the pew, you're standing here in the sanctuary, there's a blessing that goes forth that God responds to. These are not just words that sanctify our giving, but they are also significant effects upon our well-being. I was in church and I got a blessing. I got a blessing. If you'll turn to Numbers, the 6th chapter. Numbers chapter 6 and verse 23. Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Glory to God. I want you to do something for me tonight before we continue with the preaching. Could you just stand one more time? And I want you to do something that is not only significant for tonight, but in every day of your life. Don't feel bad about it. Raise your hands right now and say, God bless me. God bless me. That is not a selfish prayer. It's part of what God gives us authority to do. Amen. Clap your hands for the blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You don't have to wait for somebody to come and bless you. Hallelujah. God lives inside of me. Amen. You may be seated. Let your blessings be on your people, O God. Let your face shine upon your people, or reveal yourself to us, Lord. I want more revelation. I want more understanding. I want more insight to God than I have, because the more information I have about God, the easier it's going to be to worship Him and live for God. You know, I've said this, I've used this example over and over over the years. Brother Bill Davis, his father was killed in a boating accident. He was 26 years old. And so everybody was grieving. He was at the funeral. And a man came up to him, put his arm around Brother Davis and said, I want to tell you some things about your dad that you don't know. Basically, that's what preaching is all about. I want to tell you something about your God that you don't know, which will cause you to get closer to Him. Hallelujah. Amen. So every service, you sit under a blessing. It's God's command that the man of God bless God's people. And we need to have a better understanding of the blessings of God. How do they come? What do they do? Amen. Proverbs 10 and 22 says this, the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Hallelujah. Oh, bless me, God. Make me rich. It's not necessarily monetarily. Let your face shine upon me. Hallelujah. Most would agree that if you could have the blessings of God on you, everything else in life will just take care of itself. You know? The real question then becomes, how do I obtain the blessing of God in my life? Church and man have come up with all kinds of formulas about how to get the blessings, you know. Most are self-serving, such as indulgences paid to the church. If you pay so much, then God's going to bless you. Man-made, you see. So people could be blessed or even taken out of a fictitious place like purgatory. Come on, you can bless me. Tell an evangelist, say, send so much money in, and God is going to bless you. You think it's at man's price? People really are desperate for the blessing of God in their life, but they just don't understand how to get the blessing. We see signs all over which say, God bless America. What about signs that would say, America bless God? Wouldn't that be a better sign than God bless America? You see, part of getting the blessings of God is simply blessing God. Hallelujah. Take a look at Luke, the 24th chapter, please. Luke 24 and verse number 50. It says, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising, and what's this last part? And blessing God. So the last act of Jesus before he ascended up into heaven was lifting up his hands and blessing the people. And then it seems like the last act of the people was blessing God. Amen. You see, when you get a blessing from God, it's just a natural response that you want to bless God. Amen. You see, the reason God blesses them was because they we're blessing God. How? Through faithfulness, worship, giving, priorities. Psalms 37 and 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires or requests of thine heart. You know, when we keep getting excited about God, getting excited about church, getting excited about his word, getting excited about song service and the preaching of God's word, well, then God just can't help but bless us. Matthew 6 and 33, to me, is one of the most outstanding scriptures in the Bible. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, God wants to bless. God wants to add. He's not a subtraction God. He's a multiplying, adding God. Amen. Psalms 34 and 9, we read, oh, fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear or reverent or worship God. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to get everything that you could possibly want. You won't get $1 million in the mail from the government. Well, they don't have any more money anyway. But you won't have any wants. See, not having any wants is just as good as getting what you want. You see, and the older you get, the more you realize that whatever you wanted didn't make a hill of beans anyway. Glory to God. America, bless God, and God's blessing will be on you. And that's what we've experienced over the years, as long as people were blessing God and following a moral code in this country. God was blessing and blessing. We're only, 250 years old in comparison to so many countries that are literally thousands of years old, and we are the dominants. Well, why? Because God has blessed America, because God's people have blessed God. They say that there are really isn't much difference between people, but the major difference between success and failure is the one who always does a little more than what is required of them. You see the same thing in the church. When someone goes the extra mile, when someone does a little more than, you're coming on Friday and Saturday, you're teaching Bible studies, you see? When you go beyond what is required of you, then it seems like, well, God's got to reward us, you see? Now, we don't have to continue to bless God, but he blesses those who do bless him. He won't kick you out of the church because you're not blessing him all of the time. But Hebrews 11 and 6 tells us he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In other words, search him out, worship him, spend time with him. And the word reward, if you look it up in the Greek, it says pay for service. Could there be a monetarily blessing because we're constantly faithful to God? There's a very obscure scripture in the Old Testament. It is hidden among the genealogies. How many just love to read the genealogies of the Bible, you'll find a portrait of a man in the least read section of the least read book. The first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles are taken up with the official family tree of the Hebrew tribes. Just love the if you really have trouble sleeping at night. Names of people that are difficult to pronounce and are unfamiliar to us. We don't even use them anymore. More than 500 names. Trying to read these names will keep you out of Bible school. They really will, But 44 names into the 4th chapter of 1 Chronicles, suddenly a story breaks through. It's like God says, wait a minute. We're going to stop at 44, and then we'll continue with the rest of the 500. But I want to tell you about a man. So turn to 1 Chronicles, the 4th chapter. Starting in verse number 9. It says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on God, on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge or increase my coast or territory, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God, and God granted him that which he requested." Oh, hallelujah. Stop the presses. I want to tell you about somebody who's more honorable than anybody else. I know all of the genealogy and all of the tribes and all of the names, but there's just one guy, you see. The next verse 11 continues with the roll call of the tribe of Judah. But God stops the writer to insert a little description of a man called Jabez. You just have to know something about this man. He stands head and shoulders above all of the rest that are listed in the genealogy. You can search the entire Bible and you will not find one more piece of information about Jabez. Just this little bitty scripture. Apparently, Jabez's life started in pain, but it finished in a blessing. Because he simply prayed a prayer. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Oh, a selfish prayer. Give me more. Increase me. Jabez did not have a good start in life. That's what the Bible says. His mother called his name Jabez, which in the Hebrew means pain, or he caused me pain. All babies arrive with a certain amount of pain, but this birth was beyond what normal pain would be for childbearing. When I went to grade school, I wonder how many kids have said, "Hey, can you make me a pair of shoes?" You know? And I felt like giving them a healing, you know? But what about a boy who grew up with a daily reminder of the unwelcomed arrival that he had in the world because everybody knew that kid's name was Pain? In the Bible, your name said everything about you back then. A name was often taken as a wish for the child's future, and that really wasn't too much of a future for him. The name Solomon means peace, and he was the first king of Israel without any war, any conflict in his life. And you know what? That didn't work out so well. I think sometimes it's good that we have conflict in our life, you know, and maybe a little pain even. But a name that meant pain didn't help your future. Glory to God. By the time he was an adult, he heard about the rescue of Israel from slavery and from all of Israel's enemies, a new beginning for Israel. So why not ask God for a new beginning for me? You could ask God tonight for a new beginning for you. God's good at do-overs, you know? So he prayed a big, improbable prayer. Oh, that thou would bless me indeed. Now, a lot of Christians couldn't even pray that prayer today because they would think it was selfish and maybe immature. God bless me. We get the idea that we should be praying for somebody else and bless them, but we shouldn't pray for ourselves to bless me. But that's exactly what Jabez did. He said, God bless me. I've gone through it. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and 7, ask and it shall be given you. Hallelujah. James 4 and 2 says, ye have not because ye ask not. John 14 and 13 says, whosoever ye shall, whatsoever ye should ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You see, when God gives us something, God is also glorified in it. He wants to dress us up. He wants to give us good life, a life more abundantly, you see. Jabez said, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. And I love the urgency of his plea. In Hebrew, adding indeed to his prayer was like adding five exclamation points or writing the request with capital letters and then underlining indeed, indeed. It's like in John 3 and 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee. You know, this, you need to get this point, you see. Oh, God, please bless me. I really mean it. Bless me a lot. You sure that's in the will of God? Yes, it is. I don't think we even know the meaning of blessing, really. We say it all of the time, God bless you. You know, bless the food. Someone sneezes. It gets watered down to almost have a nice day. You know, we don't really expect the power of God in the blessing we ask. But to bless in the Bible sense is to ask and to get supernatural favor of God. God bless me. I want a supernatural favor. I want power. I want your favor upon my life. You could get up in the morning and, God, bless this day. Bless my surroundings. Open the door for me to speak to people. God, bless me. Anoint my lips. You're not a preacher. Anoint my lips. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when we ask for God's blessing, we are not asking for what we could get for ourselves. We are crying out for the unlimited goodness of God in our life that only God has the power to give us. I want goodness and mercy to follow me all the days of my life, you see. Proverbs 10 and 22 says, the blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. Amen. Jabez left it up to God how, when, and where he would bless him. He wanted God's blessing according to what God wanted for him. Not my will, but thy will be done. You see, we don't even know what's good for us. You know, we ask amiss. We think of, well, this will satisfy me. This will be good for me. When God's saying, no, I don't think so. I remember somebody coming to me years ago and saying, you know, I want to start a business and I don't know if I should, and would you, Pastor, ask God whether or not this is the right thing for me? And so I did, and God spoke to me very clearly and said, I want to bless his business, but don't allow it to take him away from me, you see. Sometimes, you know, we're asking God's blessing, but God's reading our mail. And we realize that if he did, it wouldn't be good for me, you know? Hallelujah. Everything else becomes secondary when you get the blessing of God in your life. I want to identify a huge mistake a lot of Christians make. Once we have been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, we feel like God's blessing sort of drizzles over our life at predetermined rates, you know? If you could stick this thing out to 10 years, you're really, you know, going to be blessed. No matter what you do or how we pray, no extra effort is required. It just comes naturally because you're a child of the King. You've got the name of the Lord on you. Or perhaps God keeps a ledger of blessings. You get so many blessings in May and then not quite as many in June or July. But then August comes, you get more blessings because God produces more blessings in heaven. You know, there's a shortage of lumber right now because they didn't produce enough lumber. And we look at it with the mindset of, well, you know, God can only produce so many blessings for me, you see. And then we may think that this can't last very long. You know, I mean, we had an awesome service a couple of weeks ago, but now we can't expect that to continue on a regular basis to bless us. Or maybe God should ignore you for a little while because of the blessings you got 2 weeks ago, or even debit your account by sending some trouble in your way because you got too many blessings last week. You know, that's the mindset of individuals, but God doesn't look at that. He's waiting for somebody to say, God bless me indeed. You know, increase. This kind of thinking is really sin. It's a trap. Moses said to God in Exodus 33 and 18, show me thy glory. Huh? Really? How bold. Amen. How arrogant. I want you to show me your glory. In response, God describes himself to Moses in Exodus 34 and 6. He said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and in truth. He's got more goodness than he can use. He just wants to pour it out on people if they know how to get it. Create a funnel, if you will, for the goodness and the blessings of God in your life. Incredible. The very nature of God to have an abundance of goodness that would overflow in our unworthy lives. And here's the other catch. Many people just feel like God could not bless me because I'm not worthy of that blessing. Well, you're not. But God is. You know, we're his kids. It's his good pleasure to bless us and give us and enlarge our borders. Hallelujah. I know this is radical thinking, but I want God's blessing on me. And I want God's blessing on you. You'll feel good. Amen. Why not ask God every day to bless you, and while he's at it, bless you a lot? You know what? This song service was good, but I want more. You know? Banana cream pie is good. Amen. But I want more. You know, I just get a little taste, you know. And you won't get fat if you get more of God's goodness, you know. In fact, a good report makes the bones fat. This small portion of Scripture is proof that it's not who you are or what your parents decided for you. That can be a real problem in our lives because parents pictured a future that wasn't very good. You know, maybe names like you're nobody, you'll never amount to anything, but that's not God's concept of you. He wants to bless you. But knowing that we can ask God for more than what we can imagine he'll do. If you don't remember anything about this message, but that you can ask God for more than what you're worth, more than what you can imagine. We're living way below our privilege in God because he wants to do more for us. He wants to have this church as an outstanding example of God's blessing. Hallelujah. As the musicians come, if you turn to our last scripture in Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse number 17, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all of the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. Well, I just like to ask for this little thing. Why don't you ask for more? Ask God to bless you indeed. He's even said, you know what? I'll open the windows of heaven and I'll pour out a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive. That's the kind of blessing I want. Let it overflow. Hallelujah. Let it overflow. Glory to God. God bless this church. God bless our saints. Hallelujah. Peter got sidetracked. I go fishing. Gets in the boat. He persuaded some other backsliders to come with him. And you know, without God, they fished all night and they got nada, zip. Jesus is standing on the shore. Have you any meat? No. I'm a professional fisherman. I got nothing. He said, cast your nets on the other side. And God opened the windows of heaven. There were so many fish in the nets that they had to request other boats to come, otherwise they were going to sink. You know what would be great? Is that this church would be full to capacity and we have to somehow call the neighboring churches and say, can you take some of these people? Bless us indeed. You see, glory to God. Our God isn't a little bit God. He's an overwhelming, a sink your boat kind of God. Amen, amen, amen. We're living below our privilege. And if you would just humor me and try this tomorrow, bless me, God. Bless me, God. And see what happens. It's scriptural. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some people believe that you have to come to the storehouse to get your stuff, you know? But with this pandemic, God delivers. Amen. He can bring it right to your house. God bless me. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?